It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by GoPSURV.com. Dustin Hockensmith, Greg Pickle, still talking Penn State, Ohio State, and we focused a lot on, and it's not just for because we're sick and we're feeding on the negative. I think that's where a lot of people's heads were on the play call on fourth and five that nobody really seemed to understand, and James Franklin wishes he could have back, and it looked like pretty textbook overthinking. Also, all the missed opportunities along the way, a lot of chances to make plays that would have changed the game. So that's the bad.
We do one more bad thing before?
Well, let me just put this out there too. Fair enough. So I think, you know, the thought is you lose two games to Ohio State in a row like this. You lost to Michigan State in pretty crushing fashion. You lost to USC in pretty crushing fashion a few years ago.
Oh, it's horrible. Yeah. The way Penn State loses is gut-wrenching.
It's gut-wrenching. Yeah. So I think part of the sting when you lose a game like this is you start to wonder, like, is my program going to graduate to the next level? That's where Penn State is, where they're looking to be essentially what Ohio State is, where they're in the college football playoff conversation until they do something to play themselves out, where Penn State is out of the college football playoff conversation until they do something to play their way in.
Yeah.
That's the difference. And Penn State, you know, with these, what I would call, and it's fair, losing plays against Ohio State, it's fair to wonder when or if that's going to happen. I think it's a when thing. I do. I'm not painting this as a glass half empty, because the fact that Penn State, with this team that just did not look ready for Ohio State in any way whatsoever, especially defensively, for this team to be in a position and to shoot themselves in the foot a bunch of times, there are some positives there that they were in a game against a really good, talented team that they probably didn't belong to be in if you looked at the first half against Pitt or the first half against Illinois.
Right. No, absolutely. There's no question about it.
What's your bad? What's your negative?
Oh, I'll get to that in a second. But I do think that this team is real close to taking the next step. It's just the only concern I have is that number nine leaves after this season, and someone's going to have to obviously replace him. I'm done with the Lion package. I really am.
Wasn't that a bummer?
That wasn't even what I was going to bring up, but I was going to bring up the halftime show. I'm sure that everyone involved in it did their very best, but that was an interesting decision for the Ohio State game. I'd stick with the traditional stuff next time.
James Franklin called for it.
Maybe he did. as for the Lion package, the problem with it is, well, number one, if his team was really healthy, he needed to be out there before this game. I'm sorry, he did. Number two, because you saw what happened. Him and Trace McSorley looked like they were not on the same page, that they were not, you know, ready for that play to take place. And it didn't work. And it killed two pretty promising drives early on.
Well, I think that feeds into the missed opportunities thing. There's a lot of people out there, and I agree with it completely, that says if you're just running your offense, you're going to score points there.
Yeah.
You set yourselves back. You get yourself off schedule a little bit. And I also felt like it's like four games they were itching to use this package, and then they come out right away and use it, and it gets no results. And they're like, okay, forget it. Never mind. It felt to me like run your offense for a drive or two, and then get him out there for a play or two. Don't keep force feeding it again and again and again early just because you can't wait to use it. That's the way that it felt to me.
Yeah, no, it felt like that, you know, you finally get something new and then you just wear it out because you're so excited that you finally have it. And, you know, when it comes to material possessions, you can either wear it out and not mind that it, you know, it's a little bit old, a little bit frayed and things like that, or you can go get a new one. But when you're a football team, you have to, you know, play your best players. I understand that they think Tommy Stevens is one of their best players. But, I mean, when you look at the snaps he took, and our guy that does our snap counts now, which is awesome, thank you for that. You know, Tommy Stevens has five snaps. I had rather given probably at least four of them to Ricky Slade to see what he could do. And Dustin, is it time? I know we were supposed to talk about positive and happy things, but is it time for them to pick one or two of the freshman receivers and roll them out there? So I'm talking Daniel George, Jahan Dotson, and Justin Shorter. Is it time to roll one of those three out there and say, maybe one of you guys can go make a play? Because once KJ Hamler went out, and I hope he's okay, we didn't get any more word after he was.
That was a scary
play, man, he didn't move for two or three minutes, it felt like.
But maybe he caught the ball.
He did. But he didn't move for like two or three minutes, or at least it felt that long. And that was really scary. Hopefully he's okay, but we'll have to wait and see. But once he left, who in the world were you relying on as a receiver for this Penn State team? There's not one guy that you can say is definitely the go-to guy. Hamler is it. Once he went out, Penn State's offense became a little bit more one-dimensional.
Yeah.
And they just kept going to Miles Sanders, and I just would have wondered where Ricky Slade was all night long.
I think it's fair to wonder that. I had no real expectation of seeing a lot of Ricky Slade in this one. I get how his skill set could have helped, but I'm not sure if he would have fared any differently than Miles Sanders.
See, I think he would have, because he has a little bit more quickness that can work against an Ohio State team. I just felt like they were beating the same horse over and over again. Can Miles Sanders go up and make a play? And he just often had nowhere to go, or they read the play wrong and he was stopped in the backfield. I mean, I know that everyone focuses on specifically the 4th and 5 play, but the 4th and 5 play was pretty much a good snapshot of what went gone all night long.
Made the 4th and 5 play
even worse.
Even worse. Yeah.
All right, let's find some positives.
So Trace McSorley, there's no better place to start right there. I didn't even know how to put his performance into words, because he was phenomenal in this game. I can't really think of a game where he was better, especially a game of this magnitude. 286 passing yards, 175 rushing yards, when nothing was really going right again. And you know, I try to put myself in his shoes, where you're, as a passer, you are throwing good ball after good ball after good ball, and you can't ever really be sure,
right,
if the work that you're doing and the ball that you place perfectly is going to be caught, and how frustrating that might be. But he was a dominant force with his legs, and I think all year was kind of foreshadowing, because we've seen him make a bigger impact with his legs even before this. But this was a Heisman performance that I don't know about all that, whether win or lose. Certainly if Penn State would have won, he would have been way up there in the conversation. I don't think Dwayne Haskins, just because he won the game, is way up there in the Heisman conversation.
Nope.
I didn't see Dwayne Haskins. I know I'm veering a little bit. I didn't see Dwayne Haskins
all over the place.
There's so much ground to cover.
Yes.
I didn't see Dwayne Haskins make a lot of throws down the field that were exemplary. You know, I saw Dwayne Haskins rack up a lot of yards on run after catch from his guys on all those screens and stuff like that. But Trace McSorley, it's the best I've seen him.
Yeah, I was unimpressed by Dwayne Haskins, especially in the first half. I mean, there were times when he was throwing the ball away and there was no Penn State defender even close to him, and he was tossing it away because he knew that pressure was probably coming. Penn State did a great job of getting to him, making him uncomfortable and rattling him in the first half, and they could not do it in the second half. As for Trace McSorley, I mean, he's the sorry guy after the game, right? Everyone goes up to him and says, Trace, I'm sorry that we didn't do enough to help you out. Because what did he have, like 93% of Penn State's total yards? I mean, it was
in the 90s. Yeah, I can't recall the exact percentage.
It was up there. I mean, 175 rushing yards. The play after Hamler got hurt, a couple plays later on that drive, I mean, he hit an Ohio State defender as hard as he possibly could when he was running toward the goal line. I mean,
twice he did that.
Right. And you sit there and like you wince a little bit. Okay, man, we don't need you doing that. But at the same time, that's who he is. You can't take it out of him. You're not going to change him. So, I mean, it was a heck of a performance by him. It was almost hard to believe that it came in defeat, because he did everything he could to will his team to a victory.
You know, I got and I think you got it too. Somebody on Twitter said something to you, me, and Bob.
Good.
Says last two drives in the fifth year senior QB couldn't get it done again. SMH for shaking.
Well, I mean, as the resident apology, Trace McSorley apology.
There you
club,
go. It's your platform,
president. Yes. All I'll say to that is, nobody around him got it done on the last two drives. That's just. you can nitpick and say that he should not have thrown the ball past the line of scrimmage, but even if he was behind the line of scrimmage, that DeAndre Tompkins was getting called for offensive pass interference. And there were two guys in front of him. Go back and watch it. I kept hearing all day yesterday, there was 40 yards for Chase to run. There was 20 yards for Chase to run. Bunch of green grass. No, there wasn't. Go back and watch it. There were two Ohio State guys ready to crush him, and there was a third coming from the right-hand side that would have tackled him too. There was nowhere for him to go.
Yeah, and I mean, of all the plays you're going to go back and try to point to, that is way down the list for me personally. Speaking of positives, let's try to keep it positive. We got a couple minutes left here.
Yeah, what happened to that?
What about the the environment there? 110,889. Everybody was ready and primed, and I think everybody played their role, which that's the beauty of the whiteout, is I think everybody feels like they've got a part in it and they've got a responsibility, and everybody does their job.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest one to me, Dustin, is that, you look at what really stood out to me was you look at the scene from about an hour before the game on, and it just got better and better and better. The really disappointing part, though, Ohio State, Blake Gilligan hits a perfect punt down at the Ohio State 4. Right behind it is the Penn State student section, yeah. Supposedly the toughest part of the stadium. And Ohio State just makes a joke out of it. Honestly, they go 96 yards, the whiteout, the noise, nothing mattered on that drive. Penn State couldn't get a stop. That was the most disappointing part, but it had nothing to do with the fans, obviously. They were great the whole game. I mean, they were, from start to finish, a 12th man for Penn State. They really were. And it's just a shame that, again, that situation, we couldn't. What more could you ask for? Again, backed up to the student section, the loudest part of the stadium, and it just didn't make a difference, unfortunately.
I guess kind of rapid fire, positives, negatives, whatever. Pat Freiermuth, really good performance by him. Three impressive catches, including one, that one-handed touchdown grab. KJ Hamler up over 100 yards at 93-yard catch and run. Penn State has been missing that kind of electricity for a while, and I know that we've seen it in the first four games, but this is a game where you're talking about the fastest, most athletic secondary, one of, if not the most the quickest, most athletic secondary in the country, and KJ Hamler keeps doing what he does and sprints through it. Isaiah Pryor, their safety, ended up getting ejected for targeting, was running stride for stride with KJ Hamler, though. That was interesting to me.
I've never seen anything like that. I mean, he just kicked away from those guys. It was impressive.
Yeah.
Another positive is that Antonio Shelton should be available for the Michigan State game because that bogus targeting call should be overturned.
Oh, you think?
By the Big Ten. Today.
Why do you think it was so bogus?
He was pushed into him. I mean, he was coming on the sideline. The Ohio State guy pushed him into him, and there seemingly was no.
He didn't look pushed into him to me.
I thought he was.
But we'll see. Maybe that's the case. So Penn State plays with Ohio State once again. They take that lead into the fourth quarter. Roller coaster ride ends up going Ohio State's way. Penn State does have a bye to try to sort things out.
Maybe
you'll see some changes. You talk about the wide receiver front. Maybe you'll see Penn State evaluating itself and making some changes moving forward. We're going to keep talking about Ohio State. The recruiting portion of that game, a lot of big-time players there. We'll break it down in a minute.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh, yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Life gets complicated. And it only gets more complicated when things change. Which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you. So that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.